Yeah, and we do see a lot of property investors who have historical rents that they haven't adjusted for 5 years, 6 years, sometimes since they started renting the property out. And, you know, we're talking $700,000-$800,000 properties. And I had a customer the other day who was renting out for $350 a week.
Oh, wow. You're right, Mike. So many people say that. And it's because they go, I've got a good, consistent tenant who treats the property like their own home. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm just going to leave the rent alone because I don't want to annoy them.
I would say you have to do it, because if you can't afford to provide the accommodation, then they can't have the accommodation.
Mm.
That's pretty simple. But I need to give myself a bit of a slap on the wrist, because I have one property that has had historically low rent. I just can't bring myself to raise it because I like the tenants. They're one of my first tenants as a landlord.
Welcome to Checks and Balances, brought to you by Partners Life. I'm Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. And today we've got Matt Harris here to talk on how to increase your cash flow from your property.
Matt, Managing Director of Lighthouse and property
investor and developer.
Raconteur par excellence.
And tax man, because you'll always be the tax man to me.
Yeah, many hats.
So today we're talking about, you know, borderline a therapy session. Mm. There is a lot of people in pain at the moment. And there's, you know, pain in lots of different areas of society right now. We're talking particularly about property investors with high costs, high interest rates, what you can do. Landlords are obviously feeling the pinch at the moment, Matt.
Yeah, they are. And I love sitting in this chair because it does feel like a therapy session.
It does.
Are you okay?
You asked me that last time and the answer is still I'm surviving.
Yeah.
But I think that's really valid point, right? If you are in the trenches, you want the other people in there to have the same experience as you. And we obviously work with a lot of property investors. We think property is a great wealth creation tool, but it's not all gravy. It can be very hard, and we've going through a really hard period. And I think, you know, my predictions have been a little bit wrong if you go back, because I did expect to see a little bit more sunshine on the horizon and interest rates drops to be a little bit closer.
Yeah,
and the data is showing us that that's hasn't been a correct prediction. And I think, you know, the environment's showing us that the property market is very slow at the moment. Mm-hmm. The unemployment rate is rising. Businesses are not doing so well.
I tell you something that's quite interesting. I'm talking to quite a few people at the moment. I'm not sure if you guys are experiencing it as well. Redundancies. Mm-hmm. Feels like there is more redundancies happening in the market. Obviously, there's what the government is doing right now in the public sector, but the tech sector as well.
Yep.
I still think 2024 is better than 2023, but 2023 wasn't that much fun, right?
Yeah.
And I think 25 is going to be a lot better than 24.
Agree, but I think we start also to realize that maybe the runway to prosperity is a little bit longer than we thought it was going to be. So back to property, you know, a lot of landlords are hurting. And you were just telling actually off camera before, telling us a little story about, well, maybe it was Mike actually telling. Actually, you're the same people personally. was telling me a little bit about a landlord who's hurting, whose cash flow is very poor and he's not doing very well, but his tenants can't afford to pay any more rent. And that's where we're at, right? Mm. So this episode is just going to cover a few points that you can do or some actions that you can take to try and make things a little bit better. There is no silver bullet, but let's have a go at it.
Cool.
Awesome. So Mike, for those that aren't aware, do you want to give us a quick recap of the current state of affairs?
Yeah, right. So current state of affairs for, I guess, the property investment market and the property industry in general, interest rates have started off about 7.3% and they've only slightly started to come back this year. We are seeing some sub 7% rates, but they're not advertised. They are just discounted rates. Inflation has come down recently. We got the latest inflation data out the other day, and that has really brought it down to about 4%, which is good news. But, you know, the target band for the RBNZ is between 1% and 3%. So, you know, we've still got a little bit to go there, which means, like Matt said, those interest rate drops, that OCR cut is probably still a little way off. And I guess, you know, everyone's confident that those rates will start coming down, but I still think end of the year, start of next year is when we're going to see some real cuts and some real action.
So Matt, with all of that in mind, there are different levers that property investors can pull. One is how much money comes in the door. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about yield.
Yeah, definitely. So yield is probably the fundamental, most well-known and understood metric that property investors use to figure out how a property is performing. When you look at property investment as a discipline over time, there's lots of other things that come into it in terms of debt cover ratios, inflation, capital growth rates. But yield is a really simple concept, and there's two calculations. There's gross yield, which is basically the rent over the purchase price, and there's net yield, which is the same thing but accounts for expenses. Gross yield by far is what people dine out on. It's a really easy way to compare properties, and it's a really easy way to understand what your cash flow is. So the most properties in New Zealand have a gross yield, so this is before expenses, of between 3% and 6%. So you don't have to go very far in your mind to realize that when you take away interest, without any other expense, at 7% on an average loan of, what's an average loan, Mike?
800K,
what's that, for 50 grand
yep.
at the moment, a year? So by the time you take 50 grand out of there, you can see that your yield's going to be very bad.
Mm.
So the great thing about the yield is that it is increasing. It's up 3% to 3.1% from 2.6 last year. That's because rents are rising, and I have made outlandish predictions about rents, which I think will come true. But you can see that rents are on the way up, but the problem is that interest rates are persistently high.
Yep.
So what do you do? There's pretty much only three things that you can do easily. One is raise rents. That's a bit of a no-brainer. You're only allowed to raise them once a year at the moment. You should be taking that opportunity to raise them as far as the market will allow.
Yeah, and we do see a lot of property investors who have historical rents that they haven't adjusted for 5 years, 6 years, sometimes since they started renting the property out. And, you know, we're talking $700,000-$800,000 properties. And I had a customer the other day who was renting out for $350 a week.
Oh, wow.
And the guy was like, I don't want to put the rent up. And I was like, get a property manager. They'll be the bad guy. And they have. They've adjusted the market rent, I think up to like $710 a week.
Yeah. I guess the question for you, Matt, is because exactly what you're right, Mike. So many people say that. And it's because they go, I've got a good, consistent tenant who treats the property like their own home. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm just going to leave the rent alone because I don't want to annoy them. What would you say to those people?
Look, I would say you have to do it, because if you can't afford to provide the accommodation, then they can't have the accommodation.
Mm.
That's pretty simple. But I need to give myself a bit of a slap on the wrist, because I have one property that has had historically low rent. I just can't bring myself to raise it because I like the tenants. They're one of my first tenants as a landlord. And I don't want to.
Yeah.
Marshmallow Matthew.
Yeah. So, but that is the battle that people are fighting, right? Yes. It's like, it's literally, there's a human at the end of this transaction, and you're like, I'm a human. I don't want to, you know, just kick you out of the house. You know? Yeah.
But to your point, James, like needs must. We're getting to the, you know, that this is make or break time for property investors. If you have not raised your rents and you are struggling, you have to go out and do that, right?
Because there's another component as well, which is not just, you know, you should increase your rents, but we did an episode not that long ago, and you can check it out, around why aren't rents increasing. And a lot of it to do with the cost of living, that people just can't pay more because everything else is going up. So check out that episode if you haven't seen it already.
Yeah,
and it's a good episode.
Mm. So James, before we continue, I have got a special announcement.
Have you started sticking to your budget?
Absolutely not.
You finally made it as an after hours DJ.
I wish. And the thing is, we have got a brand new podcast partner, Partners Life.
You mean the award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured?
Yep, they're also a New Zealand-operated company, and they are passionate about increasing financial literacy amongst Kiwis.
Sounds like a great match. Where can I learn more about them?
Check out their website in our show notes below.
Really thought DJ Magic Mike was going to be a global sensation for a second.
So that's one thing, right? The second most obvious lever to pull is your debt position. So one, you know, funny thing to say is reduce debt. Obviously, a lot of people are not going to be in that position, but obviously, if you reduce some of your debt, you pay less interest. That's pretty simple.
Yep.
The other thing is, and you can talk about how this actually works in reality, Mike, is there is options for some investors to go into interest only, which does make it cheaper in the short term.
Yeah, so in terms of the interest only on the mortgage, traditionally on a mortgage, you on a table loan, you pay principal, some of the loan off, and then the rest of your payment, and probably the majority of your payment for most people, is made up of the interest cost. you can actually stop paying the principal off that loan and just pay the interest cost. Yes, you won't be reducing the loan over time, but most of the time you're actually relying on the capital gains to pay off that loan anyway, right? Yep. So, you know, if, roughly speaking, in New Zealand, property doubles every 10 years. The price of property. So even if you, let's say you spent, you know, $1 million on a house and you 100% debt funded it, in 10 years, if that house price has doubled and you haven't paid off any of the loan, you will still pay off the loan and make a profit at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And James, do you want to jump in with your past returns are not an indication of future returns?
Yeah. That's a really good point and a really good summary. The other thing, Matt, which I think, I can't see your notes, but I think it's really important to touch on is the tidiness of being a property investor. I've seen so many people where just like the rent goes into their like check account and like things are coming back out. The other thing from a lending perspective is I'm like, how much debt's against your own home? How much debt's against property one, property two, property three? And the amount of people who, you know, don't know, which means like the interest only piece becomes what debt do I do what with?
Yeah.
And then that, like, from a cash flow perspective, just it's just money's going everywhere. Yeah. And no wonder it's a nightmare and you're stressed. And then you add on top 2% interest rates to 7% interest rates and you just want to go in a corner and cry.
Or sell.
How do you know my Sunday morning routine? you're dead right. And I have always maintained that property investment should be treated like a business in mindset and structure and in administration.
Yeah.
So my third point to make was actually managing expenses. So it does go very much in line with that. You can't manage your expenses if you can't bloody find them. And that is a scenario I see all the time. And it's just how do you even know what's going on here?
Yeah.
So that's things like making sure that you have a good quote for an insurance, for property insurance, making sure that you are keeping an eye on repairs and maintenance. And for example, can you defer repairs and maintenance to a time when interest rates are lower? So that you can afford it. And finally, property management fees. Nothing against property managers. I think they're great. And if you want truly passive property investment, that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
But if you're paying their fee and you can do it yourself, then you should probably just do it yourself because that's going to help your pocket.
Yeah.
I would just put a big caveat in that, like making sure that you actually can do it yourself.
Correct, yeah.
And the other thing is property manager fees are a huge waste of money, like any insurance, because that's essentially what a property manager is. It's an insurance policy until it all turns to custard.
Yeah. Yes.
And when it comes to the tenancy tribunal, and I would argue for quite good reasons, everything is leaning and supporting the tenant.
Yep.
So you need to make sure you've done everything properly.
Yeah, yep. Agree. And that's definitely very much you have to have the skill set to do it. But I'm talking about situations where you really are struggling to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do what you need to do. And it is a business. And businesses have to make tough decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a good example of it is I have to cut costs to survive. That's what you do. So those are the three main ways to do it, right? There is one other little ace up your sleeve.
Ooh.
And this is a good one. But caveat, right? Seems we're doing caveats on things. You have to be the right type of investor for this. You have to have the right type of property. So a property with some equity and maybe a bit of land and space. But the trick is called cash flow hacking. There is one person in New Zealand who's very, very good at this. Mm. And we work with them, Ilse Wolf. From Wolf Property Coaching.
Yeah.
If you don't know who she is, check out a Checks and Balance episode with her.
Yeah.
Very good. But what she does, which is a really, really great service, is that she'll go into a property or a portfolio of properties even, and she'll identify ways that you can lift the cash flow. Adding rooms, breaking up the layout of the house and relaying it to a more cash flow effective manner, adding minor dwellings or trailer dwellings, things like that, all designed to lift both the equity and the cash flow in your property.
Yeah, and she's very good at it. And like honestly, some of the stuff, every time I see someone give her a set of plans and she just starts drawing all over this.
Amazing
property And you look at it and you go, Ilse, that's going to cost loss. And she's like, nope. That's not going to cost much because this doesn't need consent. This is done. We're just shifting this wall. It's not load bearing. Like the way she thinks about it is insane.
Yeah. And she also has a team of people that she uses to do it. So we, we're not here to sell Ilse's services, but it's that is just one final thing that people can do. And I think, you know, right now people are getting hurt a lot in the pocket. And
yeah.
It's really obvious to start looking at this stuff. But imagine doing that in an environment where interest rates are back down at 5%, for example, and things are a lot better. Imagine taking that business step forward and optimizing your portfolio. And that's when you can go leaps and bounds ahead as an investor. It's by adding value, by optimizing cash flow. And she is the best at it. And that's just how it is. And that's why we're talking about her today.
Yep.
Really good option. Okay, yep. Matt. So what are the key points to take away from today?
Yeah, so the key points probably from my last property podcast is that we're here to support you. We're in the trenches with you.
Yep.
Everyone pretty much in our office, or most people in office, either own property or have exposure to the cost of property. So we understand what's going on. Make sure that you, if you want to discuss any of these options, that you drop me, Mike, or James an email, because we're all qualified to help you in some way get through this. Don't stick your head in the sand. Do something, and just remember that better days are coming, because we all know for sure that the market never stays down.
Yep. Yeah. The other perspective I'm giving people at the moment is, because they're coming from an emotional place where they can't, you know, why do I bother investing into property, all that kind of stuff. And I'm asking them at the moment, if the value of the property was $100,000 higher and interest rates were 1.5% lower, would your decision be different?
Yeah. And that's not a big jump.
Yeah.
In the terms of the property widget. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Matt. Big thank you to Partners Life for sponsoring us. Please make sure to subscribe to the episode. Check out all those previous episodes we spoke about. We'll put those in the notes. Make sure to review, like, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, Partners Life.